Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Got Brain podcast presented by Cognitivology, where we will continuously discuss and present in detail the mechanics of intuitive intelligence that are built on our inborn basic intuition. Plus, we will also be presenting the true mechanics and virtues of diversification. Now, you may be pondering, what do these two things have in common? And this is something we will continue to present and unfold for you about the significant connection between these two facets of our human potential. I would like to introduce myself. I am Carla Mencken-Wolf, and also my wonderful best friend and editor, Bryce Conway. And she's going to say something. What would you like to say?
Hi, everybody. My name is Bryce Conway, as Carla Mencken-Wolf had just said. I wanted to say that we are, in fact, the mechanics of intuition and diversification. I hope you guys enjoy our presentation and stick around for others. We welcome all comments and questions. We will try to answer them all throughout the next couple of weeks or months, and hopefully on this journey of brain potential discovery, you guys will learn something. This information is only was developed by us and only can be presented by cognitivologists, which is what we are.
And we also hope to learn something from you from all of you in our audience, as we learn about the questions and inquiries you have about true human brain potential, or the genuine, bona fide, authentic potentialities of what our brain has intended us to be and become in all of our commonality and our uniqueness. And we are back, and this is Bryce here, and myself, Carla.
And hi, Carla.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good.
Okay,
I'm going to try to keep my voice a little toned down today. I'm perfectly fine, but I've listened to myself over the past couple of days and realized I'm really loud.
Yeah, I think that you worked in performing arts and you probably got used to certain actors, you know, projecting their voice on stages. Maybe it rubbed off on you.
Maybe.
And, you know, I was in performing arts too, but I always had a microphone. You know, right?
It's true.
I think that we get rubbed off and rub off things of ourselves on others over the years as we go through certain things. But
my school was unable to have microphones when I was
going to school. Oh, I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So we have been focusing a lot on the selfies, but we have gone into very little detail. We've just touched upon what we like to call the selfies, the cognitive and intuitive and diversified selfies of our emotional intelligence and reasoning intelligence and intellectual intelligence and creative intelligence and all these things, but especially our own sense of self, selfies that make all of our other abilities connected and viable and invigorating to our own selves, which creates a constant reinvention or recreation process of our own abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we have gone very little into. But when we reduce things down to the lowest common denominator, we really want to talk about the connections between diversification, intuition, and cognition, which is what our podcast is really about. But today, I have been having a very straightforward-minded sense of everything today. So
that's a good day.
Well, that's a good day, but I think I'm going to do a little bit of a shock and awe campaign here today.
Okay.
Because we were finishing up our website and we have decided that we wanted to do a little audio clip on there.
Yes.
Something very short that explains who we are and what we do. And we still get constant misunderstandings about what it is that we do. So if you would like to go over to our website and listen to that new clip that will be on there soon, very, very soon. And you look like you're having doubts. Are you going to wait till next year to put our new clip on there? No. We have a clip on there, but we want to replace it with something that's a little bit much more clarified and much shorter.
Much shorter.
And
my doubt was about when people would be listening to this recording, whether I would have already uploaded it quite yet. So that was my own internal
thought. That's okay. I'm kind of anticipating or predicting that this episode is going to be loaded up just around the same time that we load up that new clip.
I like that.
Yeah. So I say I wanted to offer a little bit of shock and awe today. And I think the first thing, and this is going to go today without any explanation. So I'm going to say this one thing first.
Okay.
In my years of observation, especially with very young children, say even babies, the thing that I've noticed, and when we talk about childhood wounds and the inner child wounds and traumas that adults have, and all the self-improvement techniques and attempts that adults engage in, at least 90% of them are inner child wounds. In fact, I like to say that 100% of them are, but I'm just trying to be conservative. I want to say that 90% of them happen in the first 5 years of life, and the other 10% happen between 6 years and, you know, the end of teenagehood or early adult years.
Okay.
But in those first 5 years, those are really where a lot of the unconscious, subconscious, hypnotic, hidden traumas are imbued. And I've never really said this before, but what I want to say today is that what I see is that people inadvertently try to get even babies to behave in a certain way before they're being dispensed unconditional love.
Yes.
And inadvertently, again, parents are kind of like, can you just behave or do this? Or they're micromanaging their manual fixations or explorations, or the baby's manual control, and also their mouth control, and failing to resonate the frequencies of trust in the way that they can communicate with their babies, the techniques that are involved in helping children feel trusted, but also they have to learn the feelings of everything. So taking everything away or treating everything as a possible consequential effect, these things are wrong. The unconditional love needs to be given to babies first, because that is the formation for every type of ability we have, whether it's behavior or intellect or reasoning skills. The unconditional love comes first. The behavior expectations come after. And this is very relative to the new little audio blurb we're putting on our, what is the ultimate discipline in life? It's what the primordial discipline really is. Right. So that's something that we want to help people understand a lot more of when we get a chance to do one-on-one sessions, and help anyone who's willing to understand how brain development actually works. What are the mechanics? What is the cognitive anatomy, and what diversification really is, and how these three things are linked? You know, in one case, we could say diversification is the linking factor of cognition and intuition. In other cases, we can say that intuition is the linking factor of everything, especially between us and universal natural knowledge. But what I'd really like to get at this moment is the idea that we have been listening to people for many, many years tell us you need to offer things in simpler language. And every time
they've said that to us,
they've said that to us. And every time somebody says that to us, I get the very distinct feeling that they are being very, very sincere, that they want to help us move this little providence forward, and that their counsel sounds like some kind of a revelation that nobody else has ever told us, or that we've, and we have struggled with this particular aspect. And my contention and my argument has always been that simpler language will never do the trick. And I'm going to go rated R right now and say to people, okay, what we're going forward with here is, in the most rudimentary way, what we're telling people is we want to do away with, we want to make adult healing techniques, therapies, et cetera, we want to make these things obsolete, completely obsolete, by making sure that childhood trauma and abuse and unmet abilities is an obsolete process also. Now, some people at this point might say to me, you need to, okay, what do you mean by that? How does that work? You know, how is that even possible? What do you mean by making it obsolete? And it's at this point that I'd like to say, let's just pretend for a minute, okay, in me saying all this, let's just pretend that this was the last podcast we were ever going to do. And I just wanted to lay the truth out on the line. Then I'd be saying, so for instance, let's say, let's just pretend also that we were saying that our outfit, our brand was to try to make physical intimacy an obsolete process. And when I talk about the physical intimacy between two adults, I'm talking about that three-letter word, okay? I think we all know what I'm talking about. So let's say that was pretending for a moment. That's what we wanted to make obsolete. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that suddenly people would automatically understand what the word obsolete means. I think there would be zero doubts in most people's minds to say our goal is to make S-E-X obsolete. People would be like, what? That's impossible. You know, how do you propose to do that? You'll never stop people from having physical intimacy, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Actually, you're right. That is an impossible mission. So, but making adult inner child wound healing an obsolete mission is far more possible. So rather than going for the really super impossible thing, which would be ridiculous and nobody would ever want that. But my point is to drive home the idea that if I used a simpler word, if I used a word such as we want to make sure that adult healing techniques are never needed, that is one way to put it. I like the word obsolete, but then again, I think that people would end up having the same questions, whether I use the word never needed or obsolete.
Okay.
So in order to make adult healing, which is mostly inner child wounds, be a prospect that is never needed in our adult lives. Am I making myself clear? Then that means we would have to eliminate.
You're asking the wrong person.
Right. We'd have to eliminate childhood wounds, childhood abuse.
Yes.
And a lot of people think that that's impossible. But we have all these techniques in which we think that we can heal adults, but zero techniques in which we can make sure that children never get wounded. So we're talking about a much more possible idea here is what I want to get at. True. And if we want to make obsolete human suffering, we need to focus on the childhood, early childhood years. And there's ways to do that because there are ways to understand how unconditional love works, how it's applied. So I think that I'm doing a minor job, at least, of connecting the end of this part of the conversation with the beginning part of my conversation. You're shaking your head. So I want your input at this point because, like I said, the dots need to be connected.
Yes.
And if people think that it's impossible to make adult healing unnecessary or obsolete by making childhood trauma obsolete, if people think that childhood trauma can never be eliminated, then why do we even bother healing adults? You know, it has to work right. It has to work on both sides. Do you understand? If we can heal adult traumas, which are inner child wounds, and we believe in these techniques, why is it so hard to believe that we can avoid implementing any traumas in early childhood? You see, there's an unbalance in those two beliefs.
True.
Is what I'm getting at.
Yes, there is.
So, yes. What would you like to add to that?
Well, I mean, I think the scale is already weighted in an unbalanced way.
Yes.
Because, firstly, the inner child wounds that adults are healing are already in place.
Yes.
But the prevention of childhood traumas is being perpetrated by an adult or adults or, you know, community of adults that they themselves are already damaged.
Yes. And
so, yes, somebody has to break the cycle.
Right.
Yes, a cycle has to be broken. We all have to be on the same page that that we are currently working on a broken system.
Yeah.
So if we can all